Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Aquava. Unan Imports, they are located at 6971 North Sheridan Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. This two-room garden level shop specializes in arts and crafts, body care products and clothing, mostly from Kenya and West and Central Africa. They also specialize in authentic hand-carved wood masks that have the spirit infused in them, alongside the bags made of kente cloth and knit Rastafarian tapestry carved wood jewelry. Greetings, Akwaba. Unan Imports. Unan Imports, they are located at 6971 North Sheridan Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. This two-room garden level shop specializes in arts and crafts, body care products, and clothing, mostly from Kenya and West and Central Africa. They also specialize in authentic hand-carved wood masks that have the spirit infused in them, alongside the bags made of kente cloth and knit Rastafarian tapestry carved wood jewelry. The body products include several kinds of pure unrefined shea butter, as well as black soap made from the ashes of leaves, bark, and cocoa pods, mixed with shea butter or palm oil, then cured, which is noted for its deep cleansing properties. Aside from that, Unan Imports exudes an ambiance that is one to remember. Do yourself a favor. Take some time and go over to Unan Imports, located at 6971 North Sheridan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60626, and see who I call Doc, Brother Al Unan. You'll be glad you did. Yes, and we are black. We are black with Victoria Horn. We had a technical difficulty, and somehow the show was unsigned out, and I had to sign back in through Skype. So are you still there with me, sister?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I am.
I apologize for that. All right, let's get on. Yes, ma'am. Let's get on with your interview now. First of all, Victoria Horn, the first thing that stands out about you to me is your name, Horn. As we all know, there is a famous Horn in the entertainment business, or there was. Are you any way related to Miss Horn?
No, we're not related. It's just one lucky thing. I had a chance to speak to her when she was at the Fountain Blue in Florida. So my mother was working there as a waitress. And my mother told me, Miss Horn was in the hotel. So I had a chance to call her up and talk to her.
Oh, my. What a thrill that had to have been. What was she like? Oh, my God. What has happened? Again, we have had a difficulty. Our caller has dropped. And so we're just going to play a quick song here while we wait on her to come back. I think we'll play her song, Moonglow, and hopefully she can call back in. This is so embarrassing, but nonetheless, we will forge on. Moonglow.
It must have been moon glow, way up in the blue. It must have been moon glow that led me straight to you. I still hear you saying, dear one, hold me. And I started praying, dear Lord, please make this last. We used to float right. seem to come from everywhere. But now that there's moonglow way up in the blue, I'll always remember that moonglow gave me you.
Even funny, beloved.
That's what they told me. when I sing jazz, but I'm a person who has so many different genres and so many faces and characters that it's funny for me. But I would say jazz is very close to my heart.
Yes. What other styles do you sing?
You got to get closer to the mic. I sing pop. I sing rock and roll. I sing light gospel. I do musical comedy. I sing in different languages.
Oh, my.
What can I tell you?
That is amazing.
And every now and then, thank you. And every now and then, country western.
Oh, wow. Well, we must have you back on again because there's so much territory that we just possibly cannot fit into this one particular show. Tell us, what city were you born in, Ms. Horn?
I was born in New York, and I was raised in Harlem.
So you were right in the heart of the artistic realm of life.
Yes, I was. I lived across the street from Mittens Playhouse. And if anybody knows what Mittens, it's like a landmark in Harlem on 118th Street between St. Nicholas and 7th Avenue. And Billie Holiday used to go there, Dinah Washington, Duke Ellington, the greats used to go to Mittens Playhouse.
Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. So what was art contributing to your life in your home as a youth? What was being played on the radio, the television, or the hi-fi in those days?
Well, I like the song by Della Reese. And I think, and that reminds me of you. I really can't remember. I remember a spinning LP with a pink color on it. And as a kid, you know, those things like that are fascinating. What is that? And that reminds me, dear, of you. So that's one of the songs I used to hear. Billy Eckstine was played in my house. Nat King Cole was played in my house. Of course, Billy was played in my house.
So was that both of your parents appreciating that kind of music, or which one?
Well, my mother was a jazz singer.
She won second prize.
She won second prize at the Apollo Theater, yes, in the 50s. And she won it with a song called Don't Worry About Me.
Yeah.
Which was,
yeah.
Don't Worry About Me, I'll get along. Yeah, that was the tune.
Wow. Oh, my. So while growing up, did you have siblings as well?
No brothers and sisters. That I had about 8 cousins young around me, so I was not really the only child. There were a lot of kids around me when I was growing up.
That sounds splendid. So mm-hmm. That song by Della Reese, the one that resonated in your soul.
Yes.
How did it impact you?
I just smiled when I heard it. Uh-huh. I liked the melody when I heard it. I was like about 4 or 5 years old, I think.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't tell you about what the lyrics really meant. I just liked the melody.
It resonated.
I liked the melody. Yes, it did.
Can you give us a small rendition of that for those who are not familiar with that song?
I wouldn't dare try. If I don't know the melody exactly, I wouldn't dare try. But da 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 da. Something like that.
Oh, wow. You have such a beautiful voice, sister.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be talking to you today. It's nice of you to invite me.
Well, I am so intrigued. I am an artist as well, but I am so intrigued by art and the artist that it impelled me to produce this show. And I once was on every day of the week, and
uh-huh.
I was booked every day, but it was just too much work doing all that, producing the show. So I cut back down to once a week, which is more compatible with my schedule now that I'm in music. But let's get back with you. With your voice like that, when did you recognize that people wanted to hear you sing?
When I was 5.
Ah,
when I was 5 years old.
And what were you singing at 5?
I'll be down to get you in the taxi, honey. I was tapped out of Strutter's Bowl. And that was, I think, the first song I really learned to sing and tap to. I don't know if people know that song.
Well, how does it
go?
How does it go? Tell us how it goes.
I'll be down to get you in the taxi, honey. 2 more steps, we're gonna have a ball. Now, honey, don't be late. I wanna be there when the band starts playing. You remember the song? Do you know the song? Yeah.
You are wonderful. You are wonderful, sister. I'm so happy to have you on. So when you recognized that people wanted to hear you sing, how did that impact you? Did you want to go out and add more to your library, or how did that work?
No, I wanted to make my mother proud. That was all I ever thought about at the time, you know. And I didn't know that when I was so young, I didn't really realize my mother was a singer. I know she used to bring these tape recorders at home and records, and I didn't understand what that was all about. But my feeling was always for my mother. I wanted to please my mother.
And how did she respond to your talent?
Well, when I grew, as I grew up and she heard me, she said, well, you outdid me, honey. And she just was proud. Yeah, my mother played piano and sang, and she was on the Gary Cooper show, which I don't know if any people could remember. He had a show out in New Jersey.
I remember.
And that was, when they had Ted Mack and so on. They were trying to get my mother on Ted Mack, but I can't remember what happened at that time. I just heard the stories. But she was singing with their big band. My mother was a big band singer.
So, yes, there was Gary Cooper and his sidekick, sidekick's name was Durwood Kirby.
Yeah, I vaguely remember. I just looked it up. I was trying to pull it up online to make the connection, but I didn't find much about him.
So
I'm glad you brought it up.
I see. So earlier you alluded to tap dancing. How did that come about?
I don't know, really. My mother just said, okay, we're going to go to the Y or something like that. And that's how I got into it, because that was like some activity after school, you know.
I see.
So that's how that started for me. And later on, I studied with a lady named Miss Eleanor Harris, who has worked and studied with Henry Letang. And Henry Letang worked with Lena Horne.
Oh.
And the people that I was connected with once in a while work with Lena Horne, and that's my line as well, that connection. So I always had some kind of connection.
That is almost mystical that you did not know her, but there was this tangency, an invisible tangency that connected you. That is amazing. Ladies and gentlemen.
And also,
go on. You were saying?
Go ahead. No, I was just I didn't know if you were taking a break. Were you taking a break?
I was about to, but finish your thought.
The only connection that I know about Miss Horne and myself, my family comes from Sumter, South Carolina, and she has family in South Carolina. So that's something else that I thought was interesting. Yeah.
Yes, that is very interesting. So there is something that bears investigating more if you really want to find out what's going on. There has to be. And plus, you are very attractive as well. Ladies and gentlemen, this sister is not only a vocalist and an actress and composer, but she is such an attractive woman. And do yourself a favor and check her out. We will be giving you her contact information and how you can purchase her music from her. But we are brought to you today by Lalibela's Ethiopian Restaurant. They are located at 5631 North Ashland Avenue in Chicago. And for the finest Ethiopian cuisine, for the finest decorum, and for the finest service, do yourself a favor. Take your loved one down and have an excellent cuisine, excellent dining experience at Lalibela's Ethiopian Restaurant. They, again, are located at 5631 North Ashland Avenue. And if you have a hankering for some popcorn, my son has a beautiful business on the southwest side of Chicago. The name of his business is Popcorn Haven. They're at 111th and Cicero, and they have ample parking. And they also have 500 flavors for your delight. Yes, 500 flavors. Go over to Popcorn Haven at 111th and Cicero and enjoy yourself. And we are black. We are black again with Miss Horne. Miss Horne, now let's talk about your first performances. Can you remember your very first performance? What was that like?
Well, that was when I was 5, and it was a tap show. But I wasn't meant to be a tap dancer. I just remember something really funny. All the children were out there doing the number that we were taught. And then everybody had to leave the stage. And I was the last one. So the teacher was just saying, come on, come on, come on, get off the stage. And because it was so fascinating to me, I didn't know you know, where I was or what it was, but it was really, really funny because everybody was gone and I was still left on stage. So that was one of the very first times.
It seems in my mind that you were destined to be on the stage.
I used to just memorize being on the stage. Like, you know, I could just see myself being there and acting it out. And as a young kid, six, seven, I was already performing in my mind and in school plays and productions.
While in the school plays, I assume you had the lead roles.
No, I didn't. I didn't always have them. I had to work, and I met a lot of great persons who helped me along the way. Professor Boatner, who was Sonny Spitt's father, was my vocal coach. Sue Steeton, who used to work with Bette Fidler, Audrey Hepburn, Katharine Hepburn. Those were my teachers.
Oh, my. Your background is so impressive and so extensive. Again, it makes me honored to have you on our show. Let's talk about you getting into acting. When did that come about?
In the earlier part of my life, I was in a play called National Health, and that was at Washington, D.C., if you remember about the D.C. Theater. Very famous theater. I started there with a few plays, two plays actually. I didn't stick with the acting a long time. I went out to California and was at the Black Theater Study Workshop at the American Conservatory Theater. And I know you know Danny Glover. He was in the class. And Anna Beavers, who was a teacher. So I dibbled and dabbled in it. I'm thinking about going back to it. But I just wanted to sing anything else. But the acting, from what I've learned and what I knew, helped a lot on stage.
Yes,
and I took
yes.
dance classes, too. Yeah, I danced for a few years, too.
And who did you dance with?
The people that I had classes with are also, I don't know if he's gone from us now. He was a wonderful modern dance jazz teacher. Hmm. Bill Black taught a lot of people with big names, actresses that you've known on the screen. Oh, boy. Ed Mock, who was in San Francisco. So I had a lot of different professors.
I see. Quite extensive. Your education is astounding, and it points to how perfectly you sing your songs in the correct pitch, and I just am awed by your talent. Tell us.
Thank you.
You also do some composing. Tell us about that. When did you first start composing?
I have a rock and roll record out, and it's produced in Japan. It was on RCA Victor with a group called Europe and Madison. I know you've heard the Final Countdown and Carrie. You've heard of those songs.
Yes.
They asked me to, one of the directors was a friend of my friend and said, oh, I'd like to have, Victoria Horn, first of all, is Paula Desmond, and Paula Desmond is J.J. Victoria, because many years ago when I wanted to start business, I'll make a very brief story, my photographer said to me, oh, you don't look like Victoria Horn, you look like Paula somebody, and come back with a last name. So I thought about the Beatles, and Desmond has a market in the marketplace, so that's how Paula Desmond got created. And then as I traveled, because I traveled extensively to maybe almost 100 countries through my work, anyway, when I was in Japan, they know me as Paula Desmond. And they asked Paula Desmond to create a song. And I wrote a song called Don't Want to Lose You, which is on the album of Pride One. Pride One is a film about car racing. And I never thought it was going to get popular, but I still see it's very popular today.
Oh, what a thrill.
The rock and roll side of me.
What is your astrological sign?
I'm a double Aries with the Scorpio moon.
A double Aries. That's where that energy comes from.
I don't know.
It is amazing.
I just want to keep on going as long as I can. Thank you.
Yes, indeed, sister. Indeed. All right, so you began composing. Tell us, what is the optimum time for you to compose? How do you compose?
When certain things happen to me in my life, if I miss someone or something that changes my life, I'm writing lyrics all the time. And I'll leave them. I'll scribble on a piece of paper and forget about them, and I'll come back to them again, and then I'll rework them. But I've been writing actually since I was in high school.
So now, when you compose, do you have the music in your mind playing while doing the lyrics?
I have the music in my mind, but first I deal with the passion, the lyric, the word. What does it mean? And then I just think about, I just hum music or hum an idea, and I see if it fits that particular lyric. And then if I have a friend, a pianist, composer, I'll sit down with the pianist, and I'll say, let's do this. I've done that with a few guys that have been in my band or friends of mine who are musicians, and I'll say, okay, what do you think about this idea? And I'll record it, and then I'll, you know, think about the melody and go back and work on it again. That's how I do it.
Yes, indeed, I see. So tell us about the people that assist you, the pianist that assists you. Who is he or she?
Well, the one of the best pianists and friends of mine is Carlo Poggio, that you hear on this CD, Free to Fly. Mm-hmm. He's Italian, and I've done a lot of work on cruise lines. And I worked for Costa for quite a long time. I worked with Italian agencies for quite a long time. So we were connected by this job. And we were in Monte Carlo. We were in Monte Carlo when we recorded Free to Fly. But
you have an enchanting life. I'm just sitting here imagining your travels and the pleasure. Sister, there are so many artists that would give their most valuable asset to experience probably one day of your life. You are truly amazing, mm-hmm. sister.
Well, I need to be told it, and I'm very thankful, and I try to say to everybody to give good power, good energy, good blessings, and anything good that I can pass along, that's what I'm about. And I was traveling at a time where Black American women weren't traveling alone. I did some things alone. I don't even know if I did it again. I think, no, never again.
Yeah.
The experiences, just because I wanted to sing.
Yes.
I just needed to perform. And so somebody said, okay, I've got a ticket to Japan now. Let's go.
How did that job come about on the cruise lines? That is a fascinating job in itself. How does that work?
Well, because I lived in Paris for a long time. It's all so crazy. I lived in Paris for a long time, and I was on television and doing I had a famous song out, which is, everyone knows, but Pavarotti made it famous. I Love You So Caruso, Te Voglio Bene, side. And then as I lived in Paris, I met a producer who said, okay, I'd like you to record this song. So I stayed there for a while, did a lot of television, and things started to dry up. And then I met some people who worked, they were called the Rios Moors, who worked at the Lido. And they were dancers and musicians at the Lido. And they said, oh, we're putting the show together in Romania. Would you like to come to Romania? That's what I mean. So I packed up and went to Romania. And I stayed in Romania for about 8 months. And then that was getting dried up, and the Rios Morse had done a show in Amsterdam, and I couldn't go. They chose somebody else. Oh, I was sorry about that, sad about that. But then a few weeks later, they called me back. Well, you know what? We have this company. They're out of Italy, and we've got something to do with a ship. Would you like to go on a ship? And I thought, no. But anyway, I ended up working with this Italian company who booked ships for 23 years, a long time. And doing production shows.
Now, what is the workload like? How many shows and how long are the shows? Or how many sets
It varies with the kind of work. I mean, I do musical comedy to lounge work. That's what I did many years ago. I don't do that anymore. So I do a one-woman show. And the one-woman show is roughly about 45 minutes, but you can't sing in English only. You have to sing in Italian, you have to sing in French, you have to sing in German. And I try to put different cultures inside this particular show in 45 minutes. Now they've dropped it down to 35 minutes. So I will be on a cruise for maybe 4 days, 5 days, and then I'll go to another ship, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, to another ship. So that is known as in-port artists.
I see. Now, when you do your 35 minutes, when do you do another 35 minutes?
The break is usually about a half an hour, 30 minutes, depending on, you see, you have a big dining room. The kind of cruises that I work on handle 3,000 people. So I'll do a show for maybe 1,000 people, maybe 15, it depends, but they're broken up in meal time. So you have a first sitting and a second sitting.
So how many sets is that per day?
How many shows? They're not sets. They're different.
Yeah, how many?
When you're singing in the lounge. The shows are about 35, 40 minutes break in between. And then you do it again. But sometimes I used to do an hour. I used to do hour back to back. Or hour with a 20-minute break.
So you do an hour for the entire day?
No, I work all day because you have to put concentrate on what kind of clothes you're going to wear, what kind of audience are you going to have. You're in in the theater rehearsing with the technicians because they're about 9 or 10, it depends. You might use a dancer here or there. There's a film that's being shown automated concerning your particular show. I have a pre-show and a beginning and an ending, and there's a lot of rehearsing going on. So it's not an hour a day, it's all day. It's at least from maybe 2 o'clock, and you finish around 9:30, 10.
So you actually performing all those hours? I still can't picture you.
Yeah, you prepare. You have to prepare your show. It's like a Broadway show.
Yeah,
it's what I do.
Yeah, but I'm saying now, once your preparation is done, how many shows do you do within 24 hours?
Two or three. One is the rehearse because you have got to go through the whole show with the rehearsal.
Okay, I see.
And then there's the two shows. So there are three shows in a day.
I see. Now I see. You know, I've always been intrigued by that kind of performance to work on a ship. I too do a solo show, but I'm way past doing that now. But that is a very intriguing job to have, is to work on a ship. Let me ask you, because time is really closing up, what would you suggest to the aspiring singer? What are the tools, the essential tools to be successful and being a professional singer?
One of them, the main thing is your heart's got to be in it. Dedication's got to be in it. Patience. And luck. or Fortuna. Because it doesn't always happen when you want it to happen.
Yes.
It may never happen.
Yes.
But you
yes.
have to have the drive. You have to have the belief.
Yes.
And be ready to do something else when it doesn't happen.
Yes. So you don't, I'm learning, you don't take the no's personally. They're just another opportunity to find a yes to do whatever you need to do.
Right. Well, they're going to be the no's. They're going to be them. You can't stop that because you can't control what people think and feel.
Exactly.
You can only know that you did your best, and that's important, to do your best.
Exactly. I agree, sister. Where can one find you performing next?
Well, here we go again. I'm going to go. I was in Russia for a 10-city tour. It'll be a year now in November. And that was interesting. And it was a separate type of, it wasn't a ship business at all. And now I'm getting ready to go to Brazil and be a main headliner on a cruise line. To be honest with you, to make money and to be really known in your own country, it makes me feel very sad because it's hard. They like to categorize you as an age thing or this or that, or you don't look this and you don't look that. And the competition is just crazy, in my opinion, because the chances that used to be were hard. And you had to be tough. I mean, when you come in the age of Aretha Franklin and Gladys Knight, and you know what I'm speaking about. They
yes.
were hard to get on the stage, period, at that time. But now
yes.
everything is technically... are we off?
No. What I would like you to do at this time is give your contact information. We have about 45 seconds left.
Okay. So you want me to tell you now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, www.victoriahorn.com, international entertainer. For my CDs, go to cdbaby.com, and you'll find me there. And on Facebook, I'd love to have a lot of new friends that come on. And there's music and friends with Victoria Horn.
Give thanks.
And that's how you can find me.
Victoria, it has been an immeasurable pleasure, and we look forward to having you come on again to finish the territory that we have not explored. Again, we are honored to have you. We're looking forward again. Peace and love, y'all. Spread peace and follow the show. Hit the follow button when you listen to it. I need all the statistics that we can get. Peace and love to y'all everywhere.
And to you, thank you.
Thank you.